But now they've got to start from deep in their end of the field, and Garrison Hurst takes advantage of it. He takes the handle, hits to his right, gets to the 20. He's at the 30, needs to cut in. He comes back up the right sideline, breaks the third tackle, comes down to the 30. He's down to the 20. He's down to the 10. He's down to the 5. He's into the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown, 49ers! 96-yard run from scrimmage. Garrison Hurst breaking tackle after tackle, sweeps down the sideline. Throws off bodies like clothes after a marathon.
Young, back to throw. In trouble, he's going to be sacked. No, gets away. He runs, gets away again, goes to the 40, gets away again, to the 35, cuts back at the 30, to the 20, the 50, the 10. He died. Touchdown, 49ers.
Third down, Alex takes the snap. Alex looking, got it, post, and it's good.
It is second down. Ryan takes the snap, throws the slant to the left side. It's Russell, intercepted! The 49ers pick it, and Navarro Bowman is redemption! Navarro Bowman running it all the way for the touchdown! No greater redemption!
The San Francisco 49ers, we can do whatever we want.
What's going on, faithfuls? The Nothing But Niners crew is back. I have my man Mike in here. I have my man Scott in here. Zach is back, and Nick will be popping back in shortly. We are here to discuss the running back carousel that is the San Francisco 49ers. It seems like a lot of excitement has come out with people talking about what's going on. I'm not even going to say training camp, just in this phase two. A lot of guys running around, a lot of guys looking good, a lot of guys looking impressive, but we're hearing even more than just the norm. So, I think we'll start with Scott on this one. There's a whole lot of running backs, man. I mean, a whole lot of them. And obviously, all of them aren't going to make the team. So we're not going to get into cuts or anything like that. But let's talk about some of the rumors or some of the whispers. I won't even call them rumors that you've heard coming out from the writers, the beat writers and things like that.
Okay, so I think the big one that's come out is that Matt Breida, who's the undrafted free agent, a few people have said he outshone Joe Williams, which I think is pretty significant, because I think the consensus amongst 49ers fans was because Kyle Shanahan stood on the table for him, basically went against John Lynch's board and the 49ers drafted him, that Joe Williams was going to be the guy. They haven't really committed to Carlos Hyde, so in doing so, they've kind of opened themselves up for these sort of camp competitions without it even being camp yet. Just people are intrigued by, oh, what do they see in Joe Williams? Why do they think he's so good? Why did he want him so bad? Is he going to be the number one guy? And then everyone's like, well, actually, Matt Breida's been better than him so far. And whether it's sensible that we're getting so excited about him running around in shorts and a vest is sensible. But instead of kind of everyone being freaked out about the fact that this guy that we've gone against our board in drafting is worse than an undrafted free agent, everyone's just kind of assumed that because it's Kyle, he was Kyle's guy, that Matt Breida must be even better. That Matt Breida must be the guy. If Joe Williams was meant to be the guy and is great and is because he's Kyle's guy and Matt Breida's better, then what the hell has Matt Breida got? And I think we should probably take about 25 steps back and just try and look at them kind of at face value. What do these guys have? What do they offer? And be realistic about their chance of usurping Carlos Hyde, because Carlos Hyde's a really good back.
Right. And that seems to be one of the biggest things. I think we'll start with that. And then Mike, if you have an opinion on this, I'll start with you first. But let's start with the fact that a lot of people are ready to just completely disregard Carlos Hyde as if he's performing under par, or I guess I should say above par if you're talking golf. But he's not performing well. And you know, they're saying it as if he's running behind the Dallas Cowboys offensive line or something. I mean, let's be honest, the 49ers offensive line has been just a wreck. All right. It's been we call this a running back carousel. I mean, these guys are literally turnstiles almost. So let's talk about that. Mike, give your opinion. But before you do, I just realized what this looks like. Looks like I'm promoting alcohol and violence on my shirt. I want to let people know that this is a 49er shirt. So you guys can see that there. All right. It's a little play on words, a 40, a 9, okay. So not promoting violence or anything like that. wanted to get that out there before people stop watching thinking that, you know. Go ahead, Mike. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, not only the hate on Carlos Hyde is kind of crazy at this point, like you said with the O-line, but think about the fact that we had no passing game. Like, even when he was healthy and he could try to do something, there was no threat. You had Torrey Smith just running, you know, go around, and that was it. You had terrible quarterbacks. I mean, you got to give him more of a chance. I mean, the same people that want him gone want Cap back. So, I mean, it's kind of crazy, you know. I mean, he's a beast. Yeah, injuries, definitely, you know, he needs to get luckier with the injuries, but I'm definitely not ready to write him off by any means.
And then, Zach, what do you think about that, man? Your thoughts on Carlos Hyde and whether or not, I guess, is he washed up? Is he done? Are you one of the people who think that we should move on from him? I mean, because it's coming up to contract time for Carlos Hyde. I mean, what are your thoughts so far? We haven't seen anything this season, obviously. But what are your thoughts so far based off of his career?
I mean, I think it's ridiculous to say that he's washed up. The guy finished, what, 12 yards away from a 1,000-yard season last year, and that was behind, let's see, the ranked offensive line according to Pro Football Focus. That's stud, you know, caliber right there. And to say that we should move on from him, offense probably didn't watch much of last season, because when the entire supporting cast is horrible and you're still producing, I mean, that goes to show for itself. And I think he's got a lot of talent. I think, you know, he's fast, he's strong. I don't think he's injury prone, as a lot of people do. I think he's had a few unfortunate injuries that have happened to him. But when you go and back and look at the actual injuries, fortunate, you know, just happened circumstances. There's no way to prevent it. He got rolled up on his leg, you know, last year. And it's just to say that we need to move on from Carlos Hyde after that is ridiculous. I think the guy is deserving of a new contract, actually. And I think he should be the guy moving forward in this new offense.
Yeah, I like that. Nick, I want to get your thoughts on Carlos Hyde before we talk about all the other guys. What are your thoughts? A lot of fans are online saying, you know what, Carlos Hyde, not only should we move on from him, but Joe Williams is better than him. I've literally seen tweets with people saying Joe Williams is better than Carlos Hyde, a guy who has not taken a snap in the NFL, a guy who hasn't taken a preseason snap. I mean, I don't think he's put on official NFL pads yet. And they're saying that he's better.
He did, but he hasn't played a game. He put him on for pictures. But exactly. That's exactly my thoughts on it. How are you going to compare a college student, a college football player, with an NFL player who hasn't even played one snap in his NFL career yet, and he's better automatically than Carlos Hyde? Is it because of injuries? Yes. But I agree with Zach. There's been a lot of talk, you know, a lot of things that were – that he could not have helped, a roll up on his leg and such like that. But the biggest part that we took away from Carlos Hyde, and the reasons that, you know, he's not producing as much as he possibly can, he has a lot of patience. He's a great running back. Offensive line is horrible, and not having, taking a fullback out of that system and having a lead block or, you know, offensive linemen who can actually pull, you know, just different schemes. Carlos Hyde will fit good in this system, and I think that he'll break that 1,000-yard mark easily this year if he can stay healthy, and that's the key, is staying healthy. But I think that he is a 12 to 1,500-yard runner in this type of offense if he has health, good blocking up front, and Kyle Juszczyk or somebody following or, you know, filling that hole for him to get to that second level. To say that Carlos Hyde is washed up or doesn't need to be a 49er anymore is completely insane. That's just my thoughts on it.
Yeah, I mean, look, I agree with everything you're saying except for one thing. So I love Carlos Hyde. I am not ready for him to move on. I think that even if he gets injured again this year, the Niners should extend him because he'll be extremely cheap. If he goes through this season and he gets injured again, he will not get the big market money that a running back of his caliber will demand because of his health and his health issues and his history. So I say sign him on the discount and keep the guy around. He's a stud. He's an absolute stud. I mean, so what I was doing was I was pulling up that game. I don't know if you guys remember the big game that he had against Minnesota. Okay, and I know I'm going back a ways. That was in freaking, what, 2015 when he played against the Minnesota Vikings. You guys remember that week one game?
The spin heard around the world.
Oh, my God. Like, I was like, this is going to be great. Carlos Hyde is going to run for 2,000 yards. I think he had, like, what was it, like 168? Hold on, let me see if I can pull it up here. I got the screen here. It's moving a little slow. But, I mean, Carlos Hyde was amazing in that game, 168 yards on 26 carries. I mean, and it's not like he had a 50-yard run in there or anything. His long was only 18 yards. It was just consistency. The guy was a freaking truck, okay? And you can say that we caught them off guard. You can say whatever you want. The team was strong up front that game. They looked a lot better than they did the years before. And that was back with Devy and Pears. So, I mean, imagine what it can do if we can get someone to really block for him or get a fullback, like Nick said, out there in front of him. I'm just not ready to move on from Carlos Hyde. Okay, now this is not going to be a Carlos Hyde episode. We're going to talk about all the running backs, but I wanted to touch on that before we go. Is it time to move on from Carlos Hyde? I think all of us here think, no, pump the brakes. Okay, give the guy a chance. He's a very, very good running back. In fact, if you put other people there the way Carlos Hyde was, I'm not sure that he breaks as many tackles. I mean, one of the stats that I saw that was like just completely amazing was contact from the line of scrimmage. And how many times was he hit at the line of scrimmage or a half a yard ahead of it? You know, like there aren't any holes opening up for him. And he's still one of those guys that breaks tackles. And then the yards after contact are just remarkably high. So let's not just say, you know, okay, this is Joe Williams' team because, like Scott was saying and what Scott alluded to, because Kyle Shanahan stood on the table for him. That is just not the case, all right? So but that's our opinion here. Not the official opinion of Nothing But Niners, but everyone's individual opinion. We think that this guy is okay. Turn around and show him your back, big guy. Come here, big guy. Nope, you got to move over some more. Closer to me. Right there. Carlos Hyde, guys, in the building, okay? So, all right, you're good. We don't need to see your back anymore. Thanks, champ. All right, guys, let's go ahead and talk about what's going on. So let's talk about this Joe Williams. I need a volunteer. Anybody want to go first about Joe Williams? Because I know people are going to say, you know, oh, he's good. This is what Kyle Shanahan wanted. I mean, yeah, Kyle Shanahan wanted him, but what do you guys know about Joe Williams? Any volunteers? I see Zach's hand. All right, Zach, let's go ahead. Take off.
All right, I just want to start off, but to say that he's already ready, better than Carlos Hyde, and he's ready to come in and step in and be the number one back, I think it's a little ridiculous. Like you guys said, we haven't even seen the guy in pads. We haven't even seen him take a preseason snap. We haven't seen him do anything that would, you know, legitimize those claims. And when I was doing some research on him, I saw Pro Football Focus had an interesting, you know, a couple interesting stats on the guy. He dropped 5 out of 27 pass attempts. He fumbled 6 times on 289 carries while he was at Utah. Those numbers are alarming. That's not, you know, numbers that come in and say this guy is, you know, he's the number one back. And I think just a huge disrespect to Carlos Hyde, but now, and I think the reports that came out saying that, you know, Matt Breida was to say that Joe Williams is the guy. I think he's in for, I don't know where his mindset is, but I think he's ready to replace Carlos Hyde from the get, or in for a rude awakening. I think the running back group as a whole is great, and it's, you know, iron sharpens iron. So it's going to be really, really interesting to see who actually comes out of that group and makes the 53-man roster, and James is going to get cut, but there's definitely, you know, some competition there, and I think he should be afraid. He should feel the fire underneath him.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Mike, I want to get your thoughts on this, man. I mean, we're going to keep on Joe Williams for a little bit. I mean, running back from Utah. This is the guy who retired, quit on the team. Let me tell you guys about, like, I'm sure everybody knows the story already, but I mean, he flat out, the story was that he quit on the team. All right. And John Lynch was like, not interested. I don't care the excuse. Absolutely not. But then they did their due diligence. They went out, they did the research, and all of a sudden he was able to talk to him the day of the day that he was drafted that morning, an hour before the draft, in fact. And he was able to convince them. And not only did he convince them, they ended up drafting him. I mean, that's a hell of a story. So, I mean, I'm sure it's all – everyone who's watching this, I'm sure you guys have already seen it and heard about his story and all and what he had to deal with and why he left the team in the first place. But this wasn't the first team that he was on. He had a trouble pass and all. We talked about that before on podcasts and all. But, Mike, I want to get your thoughts on it, man. You tell us what you think about Joe Williams and his ability, and do you think that he's going to surpass Carlos Hyde in this offense?
I think he's a talented back for sure. I think people need to pump the brakes just as fast as saying that Matt Breida is going to, you know, beat out Joe Williams because he practiced without pads on. I mean, if you like, we went through Carlos Hyde and the issues that kind of have held him back a little bit. He's a beast. If we're going to compare Joe Williams in college, let's compare Carlos Hyde in college to Joe Williams, because he's leaping right off the screen. I mean, he's an animal. I mean, I like Joe Williams. You know, the whole quitting is a concern. I mean, he went through a dramatic thing that obviously, you know, you'd have to be in this position to understand. And he was amazing when he came back. So, I mean, I think he has the ability, and I think he'll end up being the number two, and maybe Hightower might be the one that's cut. But, I mean, that's my opinion. I think Hyde's definitely the starter, though. I mean.
I mean, I'm with you, man. I think that Carlos Hyde is going to be the starter as well. Scott, I feel like you're kind of itching to jump in here. Give us some of your thoughts. I mean, I'm looking at Atlanta's roster from last year, and it looks like they carried – check this out. It looks like they carried five running backs and two fullbacks last year. They had Coleman, Freeman, Ryan Hill, Tyler Renew. Is this from last year?
I don't know.
Let me see. Hold on. I'm sorry. Tyler Renew. Oh, no, never mind. This is – I'm sorry.
Say, you're looking at it. We don't know.
Yeah. I'm sorry. But go ahead. You go ahead and jump in here, Scott. You give us your thoughts on everything, man.
Okay. I mean, if you don't mind, I could probably almost kill two birds with one stone with Breed and Williams, because they're quite similar in terms of their real strengths and their real weaknesses. And Williams is certainly better back. When you watch the college tape, he's better than Breed. But they're both – uber explosive. You know, you give them a gap. If they're given a gap, they'll go through the gap and they can go into the second level and create big gains. And that's what makes them really exciting, because you think, Carlos Hyde, does he have the breakaway speed? Maybe not. But these guys definitely do. But what have they got outside of that? Well, Williams has got, as Zach has touched upon, his pass catching ability is questionable, but he can do it. And one of the interesting things about Williams is that whilst not being a hugely effective pass blocker, he can also do it. He can block. So it means he can be a third down back who can kind of stay in and block on those key situations. So he compares quite nicely to Tevin Coleman in terms of what Kyle Shanahan had in Atlanta, that sort of change of pace back who's got a bit of gas, who you can give him the ball in space and he'll make something happen. Breida is, for me, very unpolished. Like, he's only a runner. He prefers to bounce it to the outside. Neither of them create a lot of yards on their own, but Breida really doesn't create a lot of yards on his own. So Williams isn't going to beat out Carlos Hyde, because he just doesn't do enough at the NFL level in terms of the breaking tackles, in terms of creating his own yardage. Even as a catcher, he's probably not as good as Juszczyk either. And then, I mean, Breida, even if... I mean, I don't know how many backs the Falcons carried last year, but I can't see Breida making the roster, especially given they traded for Capri Bibbs in the draft as well. Breida, I don't think he'll make the roster. Maybe practice.
Wow.
Maybe practice squad, but I don't think he'll make the roster.
Listen, so when the 49ers pursued Breida, they made it a point to let him know that we want you. And obviously, he was an undrafted free agent. He's free to explore whatever team he wants to. See, the thing with being drafted is you have to go to that team. They pick you and you're there. I mean, unless you're one of these, you know, quarterbacks and occasionally a wide receiver who just refuses to play for them and demands a trade. But you have to go there. when you're an undrafted free agent, you have the ability to go and pick where you want to go. You're going to entertain offers, and then you can select which one of those teams from those offers. I'm sorry, there's a stray cat in my yard stalking this bird on my fence. It's really, I want him to get the bird. I want to see something. Sorry. But my point, I'm back. But my point with that is the Niners reached out to Breida, and they told him, whatever offer you get, if it's more than us, we will match it. They really, really want this guy in camp. Now, we've also seen them give contracts to the likes of DeJuan Harris and then turn around and cut him. So I know that that still doesn't mean anything. But the thing is, the style of running backs, and I don't know if Nick, you want to take this or if you want me to bounce this back to Scott or someone else wants to take it. But, I mean, you have to look at what these guys do and what they do well versus people just assuming that they're going to unseat someone. You know what I mean? In order to unseat someone or take carries away from a player, you have to do what that player does and do it better than them. So, for example, Carlos Hyde and DeJuan Harris are two different styles of running backs. DeJuan Harris has taken zero snaps away from Carlos Hyde. They're just different styles of running backs there. So either one of you guys want to take this? Nick, you went on to this, or Scott? Don't all volunteer at once.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, you know, you have to have better traits than someone. I can't say exactly what Joe Williams, Breida, or even the guy we traded for, Bibbs, are going to bring because, well, Bibbs, you could say yes because he's played an NFL game before, but with these other two, I mean, college and NFL are two total different birds. You know what I mean? You come into NFL running up high like Joe Williams does, Breida does, you're going to get smashed. You're not going to be playing that long. So, you know, you got to have the right pad level. You got to have the right mentality. You can't just be a one-hit wonder, you know, just want to bounce everything outside. You have to have similarities. But overall, Carlos Hyde is a great back. It's going to be very hard to beat him out because, one, he can run the ball between tackles. Two, he can bounce outside. He has decent speed. He's a power horse, and he can catch the football. So – and he can block. So what more do you want out of a running back? These guys better be, you know, in my terms, really, really stellar to be able to take a position away from Carlos Hyde. Because Carlos Hyde has only been hurt from this offense because of lack of blocking, injuries, and lack of a fullback. So, like I said, I'm going to stick with it. I think he has Carlos Hyde. I think he may get breathers and stuff this year, and that may be hard to determine who's going to – and that's what my – I put out a poll asking who was going to split snaps with Hyde, and basically what I was meaning by that was who's going to give Hyde a breathe, you know, a breath. You know, who's going to come in and switch out with him? Not you're going to get 10 snaps here and you're going to get 20 snaps here. No, not split snaps like that. But I really think Carlos Hyde is going to have a 1,200 to 1,500 year on the ground this year, and maybe 200 or 300 receiving.
Yeah. Scott? Yeah,
I agree with you. I think the key thing here is that no one who we've got is going to beat out Hyde. And the interesting thing is that this year, I think running back is a position of strength. Like, it really is. You've got Hyde, you've got Hightower. We cut Harris, who was arguably the second most talented back on the roster last year, and we cut him this year. So we've got guys who we brought in. We've got Joe Williams, we've got Bibbs, we've got Breida. It's basically is essentially going to be who's number two and what do they offer and why is it going to be the number two? Because no one on the roster is like Hyde. No one's going to do what he does. And it's going to be who is the best at doing what the next thing Kyle Shanahan wants, which is catching the ball at the backfield and being that change of pace guy. And who knows, maybe Joe Williams will split that with Hightower and they'll both get like 6-7 snaps a game and that'll be all they do. And Carlos Hyde will have sort of 18 to 23 carries or something like that. And that's what he'll do. And they'll just take the load off him. That's what we should be talking about, I think, and not talking about at any point people beating him out, because that's unrealistic. Because for what we need, he is Devontae Freeman clone as far as Kyle Shanahan's concerned, as far as 49ers concerned. That's what he is, and that's what he's going to do. And all those other guys, they're just competing to create them, almost carve themselves out a role. How can you use me, Kyle? How do you want to use me? This is what I can do. And I'm better at doing that than Tim Hightower's at doing this. Or I'm better at doing that than Capri Bibbs is at doing this. And that's how those guys are going to get themselves a place on this roster, because it's going to be really, really hard.
Well, Mike, you were saying something interesting earlier. We weren't online, but you were saying how you believe that Hightower is going to be like more of a goal line back.
I do. That's what I was going to ask you guys. It's you know, what role – if so think about Carlos Hyde and what he does, right? And I'm going to be completely honest with you guys. I am very confused when it comes to Carlos Hyde. I can see him as a goal line type of guy. I can see him – he's got a little more explosiveness than people give him credit for, and I think he's got a little bit more speed than people give him credit for. But which back on the team was going to be that bowling ball guy when it's fourth and one and we have to go for it, and we know – they're going to do a draw play. Is that going to be Carlos Hyde? Is that going to be Hightower? Like, who do you guys see as that guy out of this running back group?
I think Juice.
You think Juice? Wow. What do you think, Zach? I see you unmuted quick.
I like Hightower, like you were saying. He's a big physical back. You know, he kind of reminds me of, like, what the 49ers used to do with Booby Dixon. You know, they would bring him in on short yardage, you know, get stack the line and really just get physical, get low, and just beat up. I like Hightower, but Juice is a great option too. You know, we didn't even carry a fullback on the roster last season, so that's already a huge improvement there.
Yeah, I mean, Mike, what are your thoughts on that, man? Fourth and one, Niners need this for the game. I mean, like, we need to do this. Who are you putting in there, man?
I'd probably agree with Hightower. I mean, it depends in terms of the game. I wouldn't hate on Hyde either. I mean, he's a beast too. He can push it right through if it's fourth and one on the goal line. So I wouldn't discredit him either.
Absolutely. I mean, look, when it comes down to it, as far as size goes, Juszczyk is definitely the bigger guy. Juszczyk is coming in at 240 pounds. So he's the biggest guy as far as running back or fullback on the roster. And then the next biggest running back on the team is Hightower at 220. All right. Well, I mean, Carlos Hyde is 235, though. So Carlos Hyde is even bigger than Hightower. But I think that Hightower is the closest to a comparison or a comp to Carlos Hyde, if that makes any sense to you guys. So what are we going to expect, guys? Like, what are we looking for from this running group? Who's going to make this team? All right. So – we're going to have to try to narrow this down. We're going to play a little game here, okay? There's four of you guys, and then there's me. I want one of you guys to pick just a running back, not a fullback. We're going to pick just one running back to make this team, and you're not allowed to pick Carlos Hyde. All right? So we're going to go back to Mike. Mike, I want you to pick one running back that's going to make this team out of the list. And again, so here are your options, okay? You have Joe Williams, Raheem Mostert, who no one's talking about, Carlos Hyde, Tim Hightower, Matt Breida, and Capri Bibbs. Pick a running back out of that group.
It would have to be Joe Williams.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Zach, who are you picking, man? Who's the one running back you're going to pick?
Out of those, if it's not Joe Williams, I'm going to go with Bibbs.
Wow. Wow, with the shocker there, Bibbs.
Yeah.
All right.
He showed a lot last year. John Lynch obviously knew what he was getting. He covered Denver games. He worked with them very closely, not to mention Adam Peters as well. So, I mean, there's a reason why they went out and got him. So, I'm going to go with Bibbs.
Oh. Okay. And Zach, I mean, I'm sorry, not Zach. Scott, what are you thinking, bro?
You're muted, buddy.
Probably Hightower. With having seen Williams and Bibbs go, Hightower.
You're going to say Hightower? All right, Nick. Yes, I left you for last because I want this to be the toughest for you. So far, you got Williams, you got Bibbs, you got Hightower. You are left choosing between Mostert and Breida.
Well, you Which know one I'm going to be different, so I'm taking Breida.
So no one likes Mostert. All right, that's cool, and it makes sense. It makes sense from what we've seen so far. So now listen, guys. Now I'm gonna make this difficult. We all have to agree to cut one of these guys that you named. So we got Breida, Williams, Hightower, and Bibbs. All right. Now Carlos Hyde is also included in there. That's five running backs, and we're not counting the fullback in Juszczyk. So, which one of these guys are we getting rid of? I'm going to go in reverse. I'm going to bounce this right back to Nick. And I want to know Nick's thought. You got to get rid of one of these guys in there. Who's it going to be? I think I already know who everyone's going to say.
I'm going to go. Oh, man.
You got to get rid of one of these guys.
So we're only going to go with the five that we kept, right? So Mozart's already out.
Mozart is already out, mainly because no one wants to say his last name. He's gone.
Mustard, whatever it is. I get a little bit of Mozart with that, please.
Yeah, right?
He's
a condiment.
All right, so I'm going to cut. I'm going to cut the guy I said in Breida. Only because of the fact that, and this is just my explanation, I don't think Bibbs is going anywhere because we traded for him. And like Zach said, John Lynch knows him, has covered him, as well as Adam Peters. I don't think we're going to cut him Hightower because he brings too much flexibility with that running back type position. So.
Okay. All right. Breida. And backwards. I think Scott was next.
Unmute.
Right, my head says Breida, but I'm gonna go with Hightower.
Ooh. Whoa! What the shocker? Hightower not making the team?
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Hightower, and this is my reasoning. I think they're gonna keep Bibbs. They like Bibbs. There's a reason they're going with Bibbs. Then Hyde is lock. They're gonna take Jay Williams because that's Kyle Shanahan's guy, and. If you've got those three plus Juice, then I think you're not going to keep the guy who's like 30 years old and probably on his last legs and risk losing Matt Breida to someone else by putting him on your practice squad. You're going to just keep Breida on the roster, let him sit there. He might return punts sort of as a rookie as well. If he's got that skill set, don't have no idea if he does, but keep him on the roster, let him learn behind those guys, and in next year or the year after, he might start carving himself out of position. Not yet, but I'd rather keep Breida this year, given we're not likely to be doing anything particularly spectacular, and lose Hightower. And then if Carlos Hyde gets injured and goes on IR, bring Hightower back, and he can back up Carlos Hyde. He can replace him like for like.
Man, they're bringing DeJuan Harris back.
Shut up. If Harris got another call from the 49ers, he's just going to hang up. He's going to see the number show up on his ID. He's like, I'm done with them. Fuck this team. He's
Santa Clara, what?
He's hanging up. All right, I think we're going backwards. So is Zach next or is it Mike? I forget who I started with last time. One of you two. Zach? All right, go ahead, Zach.
Zach's next.
So far, right, we got Hightower and Breida cut. I want to see who the tiebreaker is going to be. We're just getting rid of one of these guys, so we're going to do this based off of votes. So who are you getting rid of those guys?
I pick one of the guys they picked, right? I don't have to gone. Okay, I'm gonna go with Hightower. I agree with what Scott was saying. I think they have him on a contract. Or not him, they have, you know, Joe Williams on a contract, on a rookie contract. I think he beats him out, and I think each player. He's only coming in for specific situations, goal line, fourth and one, third and one, you know. And I think probably a cheaper alternative out there. I think something happens, you know, injury happens to a back, they bring him back. But right now I think Hightower is the old expendable vet out of the group. And I think the unknown is greater than the known. And I think they would rather roll with the unknown with the younger guys.
Okay. All right. So then, Mike, we're back to you, baby. You got to make a cut, man. So two votes there for Hightower.
I mean, for me, I don't take as much stock in with the undrafted. I'm going Breida. I mean, he shows it on tape, but I'm it's like a Corey Sheets situation. Everybody wants to get hyped on it. Listen, just slow it down. I'd rather have the proven vet. I mean, Joe Williams, people think he's the future. Carlos Hyde's 25. I mean, it's not like they have to stash undrafted people on the roster. Try to put them on the practice squad. If not, there's always next year. I mean, running backs, a dime a dozen. So I'm calling Breida.
Okay. I like it. I like it. So we got two for Breida, two for Hightower. Nick, did you want to say something before I gave my thoughts?
Hightower? Over two rookies?
Listen, all right. So I'm gonna cast my vote, and in likelihood, this would be the tiebreaker. Okay? But guess what, guys? I think Joe Williams doesn't make the team. Yeah. I'm going to tell you guys why. I watch a lot of his tape, okay? And I just don't see a lot of patience. I see someone. Look at Scott's face. Look at Zach. Mike. Listen. I'm gonna tell you guys why. And I could be way off. And we're gonna have to go back around because we don't have an answer yet. We all gotta agree on someone. But let me tell you guys why I'm saying Joe Williams. Well, we'll go back and look at the tape. I don't see patience. I know everyone loves this guy. I know everyone loves his abilities, okay? But his abilities also lie in Breida, who's cheaper for the team, okay? I know that Kyle Shanahan stood on the table for this guy and everything, but watch the tape. This guy has no patience. Often he runs into the backs of his blockers, and he doesn't even wait for a hole to open up. Picture Frank Gore. The most perfect vision I have of Frank Gore is running into his blockers, but not with his body. He's got his hand there and guiding them. He pushes him to the left. Frank breaks to the right. You didn't see that from Joe Williams. You see Joe Williams running to the back and just hope for the best. All right? You watch any of his highlight tapes, you watch any of his draft breakdowns or anything that you can find on him, this guy has zero patience. That does not equate to a good NFL running back. And I think preseason may expose him more than what people thought. I think you can get away with a lot of that stuff in college. You can get away with Nick sharing our screen. All right, let's see what Nick is pulling up here while I'm talking about this. Okay. But you can sit there and you can say whatever it is that you want to say. Okay. Look at the film here. Look at this. Look at this. He's running over any and everybody, his own teammates or anything. There's no patience there. And yeah, this is a highlight reel. And yeah, he's taking it to the house. Don't get me wrong. He does that on a regular basis. But you can get away with that kind of stuff in college. That's not going to work against Seattle's front. That's not going to work against the Rams' front. You know, guys on the inside like Aaron Donald are going to eat him up. Look at this. Like, okay, that was a bad example. That one was actually a good run. That one was good. He hit the hole there, okay? But, like, I'm telling you guys, it's not going to play out the same way in the NFL as it did for him in college, okay? And so that's my point. I think, my personal opinion, I don't think Williams is going to be ready year one, and I think it's going to cause him to cut him and try to stash him on the practice squad. Now, who has the most outrageous rebuttal to what I just said? Okay, Scott, here we go.
I'm quite triggered.
And he was ready with the unmute. I like it.
It's not going to be the same as it was in college because he's not going to be running 180 yards over some garbage defense. But he... I'm getting 25 carries, but I think he's going to get like 10. And there's no way they're going to try and stash him on the practice squad. This is a fourth-round pick. If someone sees Joe Williams go on the practice squad, they're just going to snap him right up. Some teams haven't got any running backs. We're loaded at running back, and he's still our second-best running back. He's exactly what they want. We don't need a guy who's going to go in like and just do exactly what Carlos Hyde does after Carlos Hyde comes out and does it, because we'll just leave him in to do that. We need a guy who's going to do something a bit different, and that's what he's going to be the best at. And the guy ran sub 4.4 his pro day, apparently. The man's electric, and he's got good hands. He can beat men. He's not going to create loads of his own yards, but that's not what he's on the team to do. He's in the team to be explosive with the ball in his hands. They're going to try and create him some yardage, and we're going to let him go. And he might suffer because our O-line is garbage, but he's the second best back, I think, on this team.
All right, you're talking about how fast he ran, What did Breida run? I need to know what
he was faster. Joe, Breida was faster.
Exactly. What does Joe Williams bring to the table that any of these other backs don't bring to the table? Nick back with the screen shares here. I'll pull that up while you're responding. Go ahead and tell me what does Joe Williams bring to the table that Breida doesn't or someone else doesn't? Like, tell me.
So, Breida, I'll tell you right now. Breida, if Breida had been at the combine, he'd have run the fastest 40. He'd have jumped the furthest in the vertical jump. He'd have jumped the furthest in the broad jump and been the third best in the bench press amongst all running backs. So there is no question over Breida's athleticism. Absolutely none at all. But what there is a question over is how well does his abilities translate to an NFL back? He played in the Sun Belt. The level of competition was considerably lower than anything that Joe Williams faced. And he basically, if the gap wasn't immediately there in front of him, in the middle of the O-line, he just tried to run around the edge, which in the Sun Belt worked a treat because all the linebackers, all the safeties, as soon as they looked like he was going up the middle, flew down towards the line of scrimmage and he just went around the outside and got himself kind of 12-yard gains, one at a time, for the game. And then eventually he'd break one up down the middle because they'd block it well and he'd go to the house. And that was all it was. He can't pass block and he can't create his own yards. That's Breida's problem. So they might stash him on the practice squad and he might develop those abilities. And he's also only 190 pounds. Joe Williams is basically a bigger, more polished Matt Breida. He can catch the ball. He can blast block a bit. He's a better runner. He can go inside the tackles more. And he doesn't just look to bounce it to the outside if there's no gap straight away.
More polish than Joe Breida.
Than Breida. I can't remember his name.
I didn't say Joe. I didn't mean to say Joe because we're talking about Joe Williams. Sorry. Matt Breida, yeah. Zach.
Real quick.
Buzzing here, but go ahead.
Real quick. Go ahead. I have Matt Breida's pro day numbers. So he ran a 4.37 40, 42-inch vertical, 11.2 broad jump, 83 bench press. From the 40 time vertical and broad jump, he all ranked first. I'm not sure in what this doesn't specify exactly first out of what. The 40 time's insane. We all know pro days, you know, the school pro days, they might shave, you know, a little off. Who knows? But he went crazy his first two seasons. He had 1,400 yards, 1,600 yards. He averaged 8.7 yards a carry in 2014, 7.9 yards a carry in 2015, with 17 rushing touchdowns in both seasons. 16 yards, 3.8 average. With three rushing touchdowns. That happened. And touching on the Joe Williams thing, it reminds me a little bit of the situation last season. It wasn't as, you know, exactly the same situation because Joe Williams was taken in the fourth. But I can't help but think of Kelvin Taylor. The guy was drafted in the sixth round. You know, he was supposed to be the answer. He was supposed to be the next Frank Gore, you know, or something. And he didn't even make the team. Seattle ended up picking him up. So it's like, nothing is set in stone or anything until these guys actually hit for ourselves or even training camp. So I don't know. I don't want to crown anybody yet. Obviously it's, you know, we're in May, but Matt Breida is going to go over and take everything. We don't know anything. Kelvin Taylor didn't even make the squad last year. So.
Yeah. And something that Mike said that I really, really like was talking about people, and he compared the hype of Corey Sheets. I mean, I don't know if you guys remember that when that was going on. Mike, that was a dime. I got to get your opinion on this, man, because
Corey Sheets is our future.
Oh my God, the brick, bro. You guys remember the brick that they put in with the KSIOF? Like, come on, man. Mike, talk about it. My son is blowing bubbles in my face now. Sorry. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, you can't buy into the hype. I mean, that's one example. There's been a lot, you know, other ones too, but he can't pass protect. Like, that's a huge – if you're a liability, they're not putting you in the game.
Who are you talking about in particular? Sorry.
Breida. Sorry. Because, yeah, Scott said a great point. Breida, like, I tried watching the film on him. I never really saw him pass block. And that's a huge concern. Like, Joe Williams, like, people, you guys were saying that they covered Breida. as a, you know, undrafted free agent, and they were willing to match the signing bonus or whatever. But the 49ers also moved up to get Joe Williams, so they obviously covered him too. So, I mean, you're not cutting him. I'm not buying the hype. Let him put some pads on, and then maybe we can discuss this in a couple months. But right now, I can't buy the hype.
Absolutely.
Corey Sheets.
And Corey Sheets, that's right. And so it's in the description of this video. This is way too early to predict roster cuts or anything like that. So we don't want you guys to take this as gospel, okay? We're just a couple of guys talking based off of what we've seen so far from college and how we think it's going to equate and all that. And for all we know, all these guys could come out and look like studs in the preseason, or all of them could look like busts. We don't know anything. We're just talking. We're having some fun 49er talk about these running backs here. So I guess I'm going to go ahead and try to do a tiebreaker, all right? You guys have all made it sound like Breida's not the answer. So since we had two votes for Breida and two votes for Hightower, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to cast my final tie-breaking vote and get rid of, drumroll, Hightower. Hightower is gone. He's out of here, man. And the reason I'm doing that is strictly because the age. I think that this team knows, and the six-year contracts by our head coach, the six-year contract for our GM, these guys are thinking long-term game plan. Even if these guys aren't ready, if these guys aren't perfect, I understand that. But what we have to focus on is what's coming next. Get these guys in there. Make sure if you like something that they have, give them a year in your system to learn. You look at any time Kyle Shanahan has gone to a team, it's a little rough the first season. You know, maybe towards the end of the season, the last quarter of the season, the team starts to click a little bit. The next season, they come out on fire. Same thing is going to happen with these running backs. It's too early to get rid of these guys. And so I think they really, really like these young guys. I think Williams and Breida will actually make the team, even though I was giving you guys a hard time about Joe Williams. But I wanted to point out some flaws because everyone seems to be so high on him. So that's it. Anybody have any other thoughts? So Mostert just flat out isn't going to make it. What about Bibbs? You guys still – like, does Bibbs have a shot? You guys like Bibbs making this team still because his familiarity from Adam Peters and things like that? Like, we're content that Bibbs is going to make the squad? Zach? You think Bibbs will make the squad? I mean, he made the cut based off of this exercise.
He's definitely not a lock to make the squad. I think he's got a good chance, as good as anybody there. I think he has some good skills in the return game. You know, he's a good back. He's good size, good speed. But he's definitely not a lock. I'd say even after Carlos Hyde, for any of these guys to make the roster. But I do think Bibbs makes it. I mean, they traded for him. There was a reason. So that's just my opinion. I think the guy makes it. But to say, I mean, after you get past Joe Williams pretty much and Tim Hightower, you can even argue is on the border. The rest of the guys are pretty much on the fence. Prove it. You know, you got to prove it to make it. Earn your job. So
I love it. I absolutely love it. Any final thoughts from Scott? You want to touch on anything else before we end this one? No, Scott's good.
Not from me.
Nick, any final thoughts?
I can't believe we're cutting a veteran.
Hey, he's a 30-year-old vet. He's a 30-year-old vet, though.
It's a 1 to 2 year contract.
He's a 30-year-old vet. He missed time from the game. This is not Frank Gore we're talking about.
It doesn't matter. He's a veteran.
He's a 30-year-old guy, Nick.
Okay, you want a 30-year-old? If tomorrow you guys say, oh, guess what? The 49ers are going to sign Frank Gore. What are you going to do?
I'm hoping that they're signing him to retire his jersey.
It's all good.
I'm hoping that if Frank Gore gets signed tomorrow, I'm hoping that they're doing it so that they can retire a 49er. Frank has decided to hang up the cleats, and he wants to officially retire a 49er. I am hoping that that's what would happen if I heard that Frank Gore was signing with the Niners. And that's not a knock on Frank Gore. I love Frank Gore, but I am tired of veterans taking up roster spots from the young, talented guys. I've seen this with the wide receivers throughout the years. They refuse to let the young guys get their fair share. I mean, everyone knows how I felt about Quentin Patton. There were a couple of other young guys that I felt just didn't get a shot because we kept signing the likes of Anquan Boldin and Randy Moss and the Manningham. And there was another what was the other Giants wide receiver we picked up? It was Manningham and someone else that we picked up also. But either way, my point – oh, we also had – No, not Shepard. We had Stevie Johnson, who wasn't a Giant, but there were still, but there were other people that we kept bringing in, these veterans, and it was just tiresome. So I'm done with that. I want to see youth. I want to see a foundation, and that's what the youth is. The youth is what you're going to build with going forward. Mike, any final thoughts on this before we wrap this one up?
I mean, some of those vets came through though. So I mean, it's not an expansion team. Anquan Boldin was awesome. So if we can get some sort of production like that, I'm good with keeping Hightower. Pierre Garçon's not the youngest receiver, but he's going to be our number one receiver. So, I mean, you got to have a balance. And overall, you want to go younger, but I wouldn't necessarily cut him just due to age.
But here's my rebuttal, and I'll let you clap back after this. But here's my rebuttal to that. When the Niners were signing the likes of Stevie Johnson and Randy Moss and Anquan Boldin and Mario Manningham and things like that, what they were looking for, it wasn't another wide receiver. It was Brandon Jacobs. That was the other Giants guy that we picked up. I'm sorry. But when we were signing those guys, we were in win now mode. We were pursuing a Super Bowl. This team isn't there yet, and that's why I'm okay with moving on. What are your thoughts on that, Mike?
Well, I mean, I agree with you. If you're debating him versus Joe Williams, then it's Joe Williams over him all day. We're comparing like an undrafted free agent to him. So, I mean, it's not the same debate, you know what I mean? So,
okay,
I'm still keeping Hightower, but I can see them cutting them. It's not like they need the money either, so it wouldn't be a money issue if they want the youth. So,
yeah,
it could go either way.
And that's a great thing about all of this. And we're going to go ahead and end this podcast. I mean, this episode. But that's a great thing about all this is that they don't have money issues. They're not going to cut anybody because of the salary cap implications. They're going to cut people because they aren't the better of the pot. And that's a beautiful thing going forward with this team. I'm excited to see what they bring in the future. For the people watching this, you guys make sure you check out the website, www.nothingbutniners.com. This has been the Running Back Carousel edition of this. I think we're done, right? We're out of here?
Well, hold up. Stay faithful. We out.
Let me sound off in the beginning. We ain't losing, we back to winning. Hometown love, been repping from the start. Nothing but Niners, red and gold in my heart. And we go hard when it's time to play. May have left Frisco, but ain't left the Bay. Kyle Shanahan time, can he bring us back to get our sixth ring? Imagine that. Light shine bright at Levi whenever it's game day. Take a hit from Bowman, calling it Mayday. Eric Reed ball out, getting the picks. New year, Garçon going deep for six. Can't forget about Hyde when he toting the rock. While Robinson outside, keeping it locked. Had a lot of legends, time to make some new ones. Nothing but Niners, haters come and get some. Yeah.